Our reading is from two Psalms, 133 and 134, which are songs of ascents of David. Well, Psalm 133 is anyway. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jane, for reading. And now Emily is going to bring us our talk, and I'm going to pray for Emily. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for Emily. Thank you for the time that she has put in preparing this talk for us today. And Lord, we pray that as she speaks, our ears would be open and our hearts would be receptive to the things that you want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Jo. And thank you all for having me again. It's always great to be able to join you on these Wednesday mornings. It's a shame that we can't come more often, but I know that the Trinity students who come really appreciate it, and so thank you. Now, on Saturday, I drove back to Bristol, back to Trinity, and on the way, I listened back to the sermon series that you have had. I thought that as this was the final one in the series, it was important for me to know what you had heard before. So I listened as you went from a journey with the pilgrimage of the ascents. I listened to Paul talking and unwrapping parts of the Psalms, the hard times and the easier times, the rejoicing and the sadness. And now we're coming to the end of the journey. We're reaching Zion, Jerusalem. And as I pictured this in my mind, I picture almost like ants coming from different parts of Israel, all descending on this one hill, or ascending on this one hill. And as they ascend, all these different people from different places, they sing a song that is of unity. And this song starts, if you look in your sheet, in Psalm 133, verse 1, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Now, we know that these people came from all over. We know that the history of Israel was not one necessarily of unity. So they knew that it was a struggle to maintain that. And yet they sing that it is good and pleasant. And how easily relatable this is to us today. We come to church from our different places. We are God's people. We have maybe had our conflicts and our different interests. And yet, I believe today we can still say how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. One of Paul's points in his talk was that the Psalms can be read through the lens of Jesus. And in John's Gospel, Jesus has a prayer for his people. And as he prays, he says, My prayer is not for them, the disciples alone. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. The call for us to be unified is one to reflect the relationship between God and Jesus. So before I go into what it might look like for us to be unified, I want to look at these Psalms a little bit to unpack what it meant for David and what it meant for the people then. He uses two similes, which can be seen, one of them is in verse 2 and the other is in verse 3. The first one, he says that when God's people dwell in unity, it is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. Now, sadly, or maybe fortunately, none of Joe, Janet, or I have beards. Fortunately, I'm told by Joe. So I can't demonstrate this for you this morning. But, I mean, I could, but, you know, I didn't want to take the risk that there wouldn't be anyone with a beard. So I haven't got any oil. But while the account of Aaron, who was a priest, in Israel, in Exodus 29, just says this oil was poured on his head, here it shows it running all over the place. And I think that is a bit like the effects of unity, the effect of this blessing. It is not limited just to the one place where you thought it was going to be, but the effects of unity and blessing pour all over. Oil in ancient Israel was used to moisten the dry skin of people. It was used to heal and to help. And maybe this is what unity is like. It's a balm. It heals. It helps. I think maybe in this context, unity means to be in communion, in relationship with those who are different to us. And it is then we receive an unexpected blessing. Over the holiday, I went to Sussex with a group of friends. But they weren't actually my friends. They were friends of a couple who had gone over to Canada. They live there now, but they had come back to the UK. And they got this group together. We were all totally different. And I would say I knew my friends from Canada really well. But the funny thing was that seeing them interact with these different people meant that I got to see different sides of them and get to know them even better. And I wonder if that is the blessing of unity in some ways in the church, through being different people coming together, learning from each other. We actually reflect different things of God to each other. I know that I have found this when I came and spoke to you all on forgiveness, and I was talking to you afterwards. I found that there was something different of God that you reflected to maybe my 20s and 30s community on a Tuesday. And that's amazing. This summer, I spent a few weeks in Perth in Western Australia. And I was staying there with a Singaporean couple. And one of the things that they showed me about God, for example, was his amazing hospitality and generosity. They just lavished meals upon me. And that wasn't really something I'd ever considered. And when I asked them, why do you do this? Why are you giving me so much? They just said, this is what God has done for us. And unless I had stepped out and gone to different people and interacted with different people, I wouldn't have seen firsthand that part of God's character. The oil runs all over the place, not just where you think it's going to land. The second simile. It is as if the dew of Hermon was falling on Mount Zion. This is a totally different image. Hermon is a mountain about 100 miles north of Jerusalem. It's the tallest in Israel. It stands at, I think it's 9,000 feet. And this is the one place that would be snow-capped and might have moisture. In complete contrast, Jerusalem is dusty and dry and hot. It therefore seems surprising that the dew of Hermon can reach Mount Zion, which is in Jerusalem. But that is what God is about. You see, this blessing of unity is not purely about us, but it comes from God. And when we are unified, when we live together, the Lord bestows his blessing, it says at the end of verse 3, even life forevermore. And it's not just like through our hard work, but we know that from that prayer that I read at the beginning in John's Gospel, that Jesus is praying for us to be unified. But also the image of the oil. Oil is sometimes seen as the Holy Spirit. And it is through God's gift of the Holy Spirit that we can have unity, that we can join together beyond even our differences. The beard, the head, and the collar are very different things, but they are unified by this oil. The big mountain Hermon and Mount Zion are very different in landscape, but they are unified by the dew. We don't have to do this fight for unity alone. And they are different. We don't have to be the same, uniform. We just need to work together. And perhaps one of the ways that we can do this is given in Psalm 134. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. We can join together in praising him and giving thanks. Now, I am a big cricket fan. I spent a very happy few days in London watching cricket over the summer. And then 2 weeks ago on Sunday, I had a very happy day with friends watching England beat Australia. Maybe it was a bit dubious. I think that they stole one there, but anyway. But I have rarely watched a game of cricket in which so many people seem to come together in support of one team. It seemed that the whole nation somehow knew about Ben Stokes and his innings. Everyone had different opinions about it. People came from different backgrounds. You know, they had different opinions on the innings and whether England should have won or whether they stole one. But they were celebrating and coming behind the England cricket team. In that moment, they were united. And again, I think this is maybe like us. We can come behind God and praise him and be united despite the fact that we are from different places. And that is what is going on as these people finish their ascent, as they enter into Jerusalem. They are united in their praise. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It seems appropriate that today is a communion Sunday, because I think communion is one of the main ways, many ways, that we remember that we are united, that we have unity in what God has done for us in sending Jesus. In some of the words of communion, which I don't think we're using today, it says, we share in this body. We all take one bread. And we all drink from the same cup. Let us remember that as we come forward and take communion. That as God's people, we share in his death and his resurrection. And may we reflect that as we go even into coffee and then into our weeks. May that oil pour down from that place. And I pray. Lord, I thank you for all you have done for us. I thank you that you died for each one of us. And Lord, I pray that we would know the unity, that we are one in you, and that we would reflect that in our lives this week. In Jesus' name, amen.